T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We welcome Dr. Catherine Mullen to WBEN this morning, Director of Infection Control and Prevention at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Dr. Mullen, the U.S. has now topped 200,000 coronavirus deaths. There have been 690 deaths in Erie County. You know, as an infectious disease expert, where do you think we are right now in this pandemic? Are we anywhere near the middle or the end yet?
Thanks so much for having me. I think entering fall enters a little bit of a new era for us because this is typically the time where we start to see other circulating respiratory viruses start to pop up and they progress in terms of intensity in the area over towards the winter as we progress into the winter season. I think our COVID rates are pretty low. They've been low for many weeks now, which is good, but we want to keep them there. And obviously having other respiratory viruses that present very similarly to COVID will make things a little confusing. So we really need to continue doing what we're doing, which is masking, distancing, and all of those good public health measures to make sure that we don't see spikes in COVID in addition to other respiratory viruses, again, that could make things very confusing because they have very similar symptoms.
Everyone, ever since March, has been looking toward a vaccine as a potential for, you know, the end-all, be-all of this, where we can have a vaccine, roll it out, and say, all right, we are completely done with COVID. How does that rollout look? And, you know, from some of the things that we're hearing, we keep hearing before the end of the year, before the end of the year, we'll have a vaccine. When can people, though, expect the vaccine to be available enough, distributed enough to actually be effective?
Right. And I think that brings up a really great point. There are differences between having a vaccine that's been approved for emergency use, which I think we're headed towards. I'm hopeful in the next couple of months that we will have a candidate for that. And I think as time goes on, we may have many candidates that show that a vaccine is both effective in preventing disease, but also very safe. Those are the two things that we look for in a vaccine candidate. But then there's the big question of operationally distributing this vaccine. And there will be a necessary hierarchy in terms of exposure risk. You know, who should get the vaccine, who should be prioritized in terms of risk of exposure and then risk of severe disease. Ultimately, it's probably going to take several months until we're able to get a vaccine to everybody who needs one. It's a huge public health operational project. So it's going to be several months until we really are able to distribute it broadly.
Oftentimes, Dr. Mullen, the flu vaccine is maybe 50% effective, maybe 60% effective. Are we looking at the same thing with the COVID vaccine, that it would not be 100% effective?
Right. Definitely, I think it's unlikely. It's near impossible to have an 100% effective vaccine. You're right, the flu vaccine hovers around that level of efficacy. We think that a higher percentage of that may be partially covered. So even if you got exposure to the virus and you got a little sick, that you wouldn't have gotten as sick if you didn't have the vaccine. So that there is some benefit, even if you do end up getting exposed and getting some illness. And that brings up a really important point that it's obviously hugely important to get the flu vaccine. Unfortunately, in the hospital, I see all of the very bad secondary issues with influenza. And so I'm a big proponent of how important the seasonal flu vaccine is baseline. But this year, in terms of protecting yourself and then also limiting those confounders, limiting the spread of influenza to vulnerable people, but then also the spread of respiratory viruses that can create the is this COVID panic. It's very, very important to get the flu vaccine. That is something that we have at our disposal to limit respiratory viral infection this winter, this fall and winter. And it's something that I really urge the public to get a flu vaccine. If you've never gotten it before, you know, this would be the year to get it. And so I really think that this could be a huge benefit to the community if there's higher flu vaccine uptake than usual.
We heard from the director of the CDC last week, speaking about vaccines and how effective they can be, that, you know, mask wearing, universal mask wearing could be more effective than a vaccine, depending on how, you know, effective the vaccine is when it is rolled out. What did you make of those comments? And, you know, if we are kind of protected by the masks in ways that many people say that we are, should that allow us to kind of live a little more freely if we are all wearing masks?
Sure. I mean, I think as comments, we're very pragmatic. It is going to be a period of time until there is universal vaccine coverage, even when we do have a COVID vaccine that is approved. And in the interim, we know when there's a interaction between two individuals who are both masked, the risk of having transmission of COVID is extremely low. I think ultimately it will be a combination of vaccine use, low-level community density, and measures like mask wearing, whatnot, that will months, years from now, drive this into the ground. I mean, I think it's going to be at least several months. But in the meantime, we can keep COVID levels and other respiratory viruses level because they spread in the same way by doing things like masking and distancing. I think that we've been able to see that as a community. I mean, we are able to do things currently that we were not able to do in April of this year when we had a much higher level of COVID in the community. I would like to see us be able to keep this sort of modicum of normal operations of life. And even as, you know, again, we face this hurdle of an impending respiratory viral season. But I think that, again, stressing the importance of how effective that is really important for messaging.
You know, the CDC yesterday came out with guidelines for holidays, including Halloween. And their number one tip was to skip trick-or-treating this year. What are your thoughts on that? Is there a way to safely trick-or-treat for the kids this year?
Sure. I think that, you know, the CDC, when they give recommendations to the whole country, to people who live in the middle of Manhattan and then in the middle of rural Iowa, to areas of the country that have super, super low level density COVID and then also higher level density COVID. And they also broke their guidance into low, medium, and high risk categories. Most of this guidance is based on risk of close interaction with people who may have disease, right? So that's the overall guidance is all based on minimizing those things. There may be people who are in some situations where they're able to, you know, if they have a small neighborhood and people put candy out and they can watch from their doorway and kids can come and pick up candy that are distanced, it's outside, that would be considered safe. It may not be traditional trick-or-treating where kids are walking up to houses where they don't know who lives there and they're getting right in someone's face as they're handing them a candy bowl. I think that presents risk. But there are ways to modify this and still have sort of traditional seasonal fun. So I would, you know, urge people to think of ways that are safe where people can keep distance, especially from vulnerable neighbors, but also be able to celebrate. The nice thing about Halloween is that a lot of the traditions that we have are outside, and outside is always better than inside. So thinking of ways to have fun, to do things in costumes or whatnot that are outside and also allow people to have enough space between them is really the name of the game.
We're talking with Dr. Catherine Mullen on WBEN Buffalo. Before we let you go, I do want to ask, you know, we were talking about the flu, we were talking about COVID. When it does come time for the flu, and you mentioned kind of that panic, that is this COVID panic, is there like a telltale sign or something where you would be able to distinguish between the two?
There really isn't. And that is really, really a challenge for us as clinicians when we see patients. Both viruses can present in very subtle ways. Some people can have, there's a huge spectrum of symptoms, and there's a sort of across, the symptom list is very, very similar. So there's really no way that I can see a patient and say, you definitely have flu or you definitely have COVID. I can have a hunch, but they both can mimic each other. And so it's really important if you do have any respiratory, subtle respiratory symptoms that you do get tested and you do isolate until those test results come back. Because, you know, similarly to COVID, we really would like to prevent the spread of influenza in the community. Again, because it is that mimicker that, we're all concerned about COVID, but also because influenza can be deadly. And I think that if anything good can come out of COVID, it can be that we really have a heightened awareness of the fact that there are these risks, there are ways to modify them, and that for certain populations, influenza poses a lot of health risks. So I think we can take this as an opportunity to highlight that and highlight the importance that we do have a vaccine for influenza. It's not 100%, but it's very effective. And again, it can modify the disease process even for people that it doesn't 100% protect against. And that would prevent someone from possibly needing to go to a hospital, only being out of work for 2 days instead of 6 days. So these are really important things for our community to know.
Good stuff. Dr. Mullen, thanks so much. Dr. Catherine Mullen, Director of Infection Control and Prevention at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.